There was a lady who was driving by a farm, pulled in to talk to the people because she noticed that there was a pig limping rather badly on the farm property. And she got closer to the house, she realized the reason that the pig was limping is because the pig had one wooden leg. And so as she was talking to the family, the man said, "You really couldn't believe that pig. That pig is incredible." Said the barn caught fire a couple of years back. Said that pig oinked and squealed so loudly and for so long it woke us up, we were able to save the barn and get the animals out. The lady said, that is incredible. He said, that's not the half of it. Said just a couple of months ago, says our daughter fell into the well. That pig oinked and squealed so loud, so long, that it got our attention inside, we were able to come out. That pig saved our daughter's life. The lady was amazed again. She said, that truly, truly is an incredible pig. She says, but I don't understand how that explains why the pig is limping. The man said, you got a pig that special. You can't eat him all at once. They were thankful to the pig. But how thankful were they? How deep did the gratitude run? It's good to be here this morning. This week isn't different than other weeks in the sense that hopefully Christians are thankful in a different sense in one part of the year than they are in others, but it clearly is a reminder week to us, and we're grateful for that. It's our intent on Wednesday night, if the Lord should allow us to meet, to spend the entire evening in giving of thanks and praise to God for the things that He has done, both in the things that we read, the things that are said, the songs that are sung, that our focus may be on God and all the things that He has done for us. I would ask you, if you would, to do something for me in relation to that. If you would, I'm asking all who are willing to, today or tomorrow, today if it's going to be in written form, unless you want to drop it off at my house, but either write down and hand to me or to Judy, or text me, 718-5190. You can ask me again about that. Text me or email me. My email address is on the directory. Or call me. The first three are a better route than calling me because it will be in some kind of written form and that will help me. But I would ask you to write down special things this year that you're thankful for. We would like to mention some of those specifically as we think about ways that God has blessed us, not just individually, but how He has blessed us as a collective family together as well. I hope you'll do that. Send those to me. I'll tell you on the front end, I don't know that we're going to be able to mention every single thing that everybody sends in, but we will do our best to make sure to give God thanks for the things that we're thinking about that He has provided for us. Always great to be able to be in your presence, to be in each other's presence, to be in God's presence. Amen? Always good to be able to spend some time in His Word. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open up into the Gospel of Luke. In just a minute, we're going to look at a passage out of the Gospel of Luke because we're actually going to make a point on the flip side of this equation this morning. We mentioned in a humorous way, though some obviously found it more humorous than others, a humorous way, the story of the pig, that sometimes gratitude doesn't run too deep. How deep is our gratitude? Is it possible that we don't show the kind of gratitude maybe that we should show? We're going to look at a passage that helps us to see that today, and I think three things are pointed out within the passage as we look at that. It's a passage that we're going to entitle, at least, the idea of missing a heart of gratitude. How is that possible? In other words, let's just imagine if you were sitting around the table come Thursday. And depending on the size of the crowd and how much time you had, I mean, sometimes families, especially if it's just family there, will take the time and just kind of go around the table. Share something that you are thankful for. What if you were sitting around the table and somebody at the table said, you know what, I'm so mad that I'm not really thankful for anything. How would you feel about that? I mean, that'd be discouraging, wouldn't it? It would be aggravating. It would be upsetting. It would be frustrating. Or what if they said, you know what? I know you guys are going to all have dinner together. I'm not coming in. I'm not celebrating with you. I'm mad about something, and I have no intention of sharing in some kind of thankful celebration that you're involved in. Would that not bother us? Yeah, that'd be tough. It'd be tough enough if it was a complete stranger that acted that way to you. How different would it be if it was one of your own family that responded to you that way? And that's exactly what we have in Luke chapter 15. We've spent a good deal of time in times past on the first part of that passage, and we want to take just the last few verses. But I want you to think in these terms, just by way of refreshing our memory. What we've got is, it's a day of incredible thanksgiving for a family. It's a day of incredible celebration. They are absolutely excited. They are thrilled about something. And that something is that they had a brother or a son or a friend or whoever you are to this family, they had one who was lost and who has come back home again. You remember that? The story of the prodigal? And that great celebration that's going on, and the father hugging and kissing the son and giving him a robe and killing the fatted calf and having a celebration so that they might all be able to do that. And you've got another boy who doesn't even really know what's going on. He's out in the field. And he's a hard worker, and he's been out in the field working all day, and you know he's coming back in from the field, and he's got an appetite. He's hungry. He wants to be able to wash his hands and sit down at a place to have some food. And as he gets closer, there's all kinds of commotion at the house that's not just an ordinary dinner. He says, "What's all the commotion about?" And one of the servants says, "Hey, incredible news today. Your brother came home. Your brother who was out wandering around, your brother who had left the family." And you can just almost sense the emotion stirring up in this older brother as he starts to think in terms of, you know what, this is the same brother that before there was ever even a funeral, he was asking for his money that he could take. And he took his money and he spent it in just awful ways. He absolutely shamed our father. He shamed our family. He showed absolute disregard for all of us when he did that. And now he's home and we're going to have this great party. He's surprised, I assure you, he's surprised that his father even allowed his son to set foot on the estate. He's aggravated by this. We know that. He's aggravated. Repulsive is probably not too strong a word to say how he felt about what was going on. He was repulsed by it. He refused to go in the house. And then something happens. Either somebody tells the father, or the father sees, or something comes out because others have told him, and now the father comes out and he's pleading with the son, "Come in. This is important. Your brother has come home." And yet he still doesn't come in. Unbelievable resentment. And the resentment goes two ways. Resentment toward his father for what he's doing for his son. Resentment toward his brother for what is being done. But also resentment toward his father for what's not being done for him. And he sees both sides of that equation. And it just kind of, like water backing up to a dam, it finally just breaks out. And he says what's on his mind. In Luke chapter 15, I want you to pick up with me reading in verse 25. The story's familiar, so it's not necessary we go back through the whole story. Luke chapter 15, picking up in verse 25. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry, would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you've never given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours who comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I just want us to look at what I think are three things that appear in this story that cause a person that is incredibly blessed to be ungrateful. How does that even happen? How is it that, because you ever think about that? Is there any point in our lives, I shudder to think, of the times in my life that I have not been grateful for what I had? You ever feel that way? And I haven't had just a little bit to be grateful for. I'm one of the people who's fortunate, like most of us in here are, to have grown up in middle-class America with unbelievable freedoms and unbelievable things to have, and safety and protection and the things that we enjoy. How is it that we could possibly, like this son, miss the point and be ungrateful for what we have? So as we approach this week and every day, may we strive to make sure we don't do that. Here's what I think are the three things that show up in this son's life that make him a thankless son. I mean, he should have been contented. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, he was living a good life. He should have been contented. I came across a quote that I just like. Don't know who even is responsible for it. It just says, amazingly, doing all the right things, possessing the benefits of the state living are not guarantees of a grateful heart. And that's true. Living the right life, having all the blessings that come with the estate are not a guarantee of these things. Here's what I want you to see about this son. First, he was performance driven. How do you know that? Because there are things that he says that let you know that. One, he marks time. Lo, these many years. Now the focus has already gone the wrong direction, hasn't it? Lo, these many years. Look what I have done. Look how I have served. I have worked hard. I don't think that he was saying anything that wasn't correct. I don't think that he was lying to his father. I think he was saying, you know, I've been here. I have been faithful. I have dedicated my time. I have dedicated my effort for all of these years. He marks time. He not only marks time, he tracks behavior. Says, it hasn't only been a long time. I want you to understand what I've put forth into this. I want you to understand what I have done, the effort that I have put forth. When it burst out, lo, these many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time. That's my behavior. I did what I was supposed to do. Secondly, you never even gave me a goat to celebrate with my friends. He tracks their behavior. Keeping record of time and behavior will always shift our focus the wrong direction. I would tell you, thirdly, as a part of that, he feels entitled. In other words, I should receive because. And we think that sometimes when we think about our relationship with God. Sometimes we think we should receive things from God because. And we know that's not right. We know that's not right. There's only one thing that I could fill that in with properly. What I should receive from God because would have to be filled in with what? Death. Because I sinned. And that's exactly what I should get for what I have done. That's the only should you could fill it in with. But sometimes we feel entitled. I've done this, therefore I should receive this. Jesus dealt with that throughout the New Testament. That happened on many occasions. You can't be performance driven and have the mind and the heart of God. And that's what this is going to come down to. You're going to see in a moment here how critical it is that we get the mind and the heart of the Father. Secondly, he was possessions blind. Not possessions blinded him. He was possessions blind. In other words, he didn't recognize what he had. It's interesting as you're raising a child. When you're raising a child who thinks like a child, and you're going through all of that, and if you bought your child something on one occasion, and then you bought him something on another occasion, and then you bought him something on another occasion, and you do that over a period of time, and then an occasion comes and you don't buy him something, what gets remembered by the child? I was talking to one of the little kids that used to go here. It doesn't go here anymore, so there's no sense in trying to search your mind. It hasn't gone here in quite a while. But it was funny. I just loved his description. I asked him how old he was one day, and instead of just telling me, he thought he had to explain that to me. He said, I used to be one. He says, and then I had a birthday, and I was two. And then I had another birthday, and I was three. And then I didn't have a birthday, and now I had another one, and look what happened, I'm five. Well, he had a birthday, he didn't have a party. But he remembered having parties all the other years, but the focus of his mind was what? See what they did to me? I went straight from three to five, because I didn't have a fourth birthday. We understand that. There's a tendency for any of us to think that we miss the things that are in front of us. That's exactly the point that this man had. The father was saying, everything I have is yours. What is there by way of blessings that God has showered down on mankind that does not belong to every one of us? He says, it's all yours. We've been talking in Ephesians and all those spiritual blessings that he talks about and all those things. He said, I've showered you with blessings. Everything, he says, everything I have to give, it's all yours all the time. This boy didn't understand that. He was like King David. Do you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 12 when Nathan went to King David? He said, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a man that had everything in the world and wasn't happy with that. Isn't that what that story is about? Let me tell you a man that had fields of sheep. Wasn't happy with that. He wanted the one sheep that that man had over there. And of course, he was talking about the man's wife, Bathsheba. But that's the way this boy was. He had everything, but somehow or another he wanted more. He couldn't see what he had. I want you to listen to this conversation between Cineas and Pyrrhus as they were having a discussion about whether or not to go to war against Rome. This is what Cineas said to Pyrrhus. He starts the conversation. Sir, when you've conquered them, what will you do next? Sicily is near at hand and easy to master. And when you've conquered Sicily, then we will pass on to Africa and take Carthage. When these are conquered, what will be your next attempt? Then we will fall upon Greece and Macedon and recover what we have lost there. Well, when all are subdued, what fruit do you expect from all your victories? Then we'll sit down and enjoy ourselves. Love this response. Here's the response of Cineas. Sir, may we not do it now and forego all the preliminaries? Enjoy today. Don't miss the point of what he has given us. Love the description of a man who says he was going outside and a lady down the street from him was shoveling the snow off of her driveway. And he says it was pretty thick. And he said, how come you're having to shovel that by yourself? Why isn't your husband helping you? She said, my husband can't help me. He has a heart condition that would make it impossible for him to get out here and shovel like this. The man's response was, let me help you. I'm sorry you have to do this. Her response was, do not be sorry. I thank the Lord that I have enough health that I can be out here shoveling this snow. What's our whole perspective on things? I mean, it would be easy to look and think, you know what, I wish I had somebody to shovel it for me, rather than think, this is an incredible joy that I've got the help to get out and push the shovel myself. But that's what she thought. I think that becomes critically important in our relationship. Had everything, thought that he needed more. One other little story from, I'm sure from mythology, but I just like the way it's described. It talks about a king that had a terrible sickness. And he was in pain all the time, but it was almost like what we would define as the shingles, but pain all across his body outside. And those that were the healers and those that were going to help said, the only solution you can have is you need to find a contented man in your kingdom. Get his shirt and wear his shirt all day, all night, for an entire month. So the king sent out all his servants that he could to go out into the kingdom and look for a contented man. When they came back into the court, finally, after they searched for a long time, came back in to the court, nobody was holding a shirt. And the king says, you could not find one man content in all my kingdom? They said, we did find a man content. Where is his shirt? And they responded, he doesn't have a shirt. Contentment isn't based on what we have. It's based on how we view what we have. We need to be appreciative of that. And then thirdly and finally, he's relationally distant. He's things-centered, not people-centered. We see that in him. In verse 30, he says what? Of his brother. But as soon as this son of yours, not as soon as my brother came back, but as soon as this son of yours came back, he's distancing himself from him. The father had to remind him, son, you are always with me. You're always my son. We've always had this relationship. How can you think that our relationship is different just because your brother came back home? He couldn't understand the father's nature, and so therefore he couldn't share in the father's joy. And that is the problem when we're not as grateful as we should be. We lose sight of what it was that is the nature of our Father who has given us the blessings. Turn back if you would, or it may be your same opening, same chapter, but all the way back to the first two verses. And we'll end the lesson this way. As we think about what drives the story to begin with. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Here's the point. It is prodigal people who flock to Jesus. Why? Because prodigal people are thankful. Now, the other side of that coin is, we all are prodigal before God. We should all be thankful, but if we don't perceive ourselves that way, then we will miss that. Some people just don't stop and fill their heart with God, because there's no room because they've been keeping record. Don't let ingratitude today, this week, the remainder of this year, all your days on earth that God should give you, don't let ingratitude get you out of sync with the Father's heart. He says we need to have the right focus so that we can have the gratefulness that we should have. I hope we'll all think about that. And I hope as you start to write down some things today or tomorrow and send them to me, I hope that you'll get a sense for how incredibly blessed we are. And then as important as that, that this week, and especially if we gather on Wednesday, if God allows us to do that, and we lift up our voices in song and readings of His Scripture and prayers and thoughts, may He get a true sense of how grateful we are. May He know. He's done everything for us. If you've never responded to that, you need to. If you don't know how, talk to us. We'd like to show you what God says about coming to Him. For those of us that have, maybe you need to talk to somebody individually. Maybe you need to talk to the whole group. Maybe you just need to talk to God. Make sure He knows as well how thankful you are. If we can help you respond to God's call today, let us know while we stand and sing.